Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And it is the ATS Mix. Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm his partner, Dave Rabbit. And I got to tell you, John, it has been a really fun week since the election of Barack Obama, don't you think?
It has definitely been a historic week for everybody, I believe. Not just in America, but globally.
You know, the only thing that's really chapped my buttocks is the fact that, well, I'll tell you exactly what's chapping my ass, is that, you know, I had this contest that has really, you know, really took off about everybody trying to guess the right number of electoral votes. And the problem is that I can't award the points because Missouri still can't figure out who the winner is in their state, which I think is absolutely asinine. We're coming up on a week after the election almost.
So, in other words, we're apologizing for not being able to complete our contest.
Yeah.
And we're blaming Missouri.
Yeah, kind of. In fact, I took liberties and actually put it up on the site that says we're waiting on, still waiting on Missouri, I think is my comment.
I love waiting on Missouri. Not really.
Yeah, I think there's a song to that, isn't there?
Yeah, probably. Waiting on Missouri. On this week's show, we've got, of course, UFO sightings, and then we've got our final lecturer from the Bay Area UFO Expo in Santa Clara, which will be with Jordan Maxwell. And I'll tell you one thing.
Is he our final?
He is our final.
We had seven.
No, he is our final.
You must have killed somebody. I just don't know who it is.
It's dead, Jim.
Okay.
That's still a line from Bones from Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's dead, Jim.
Trying to figure out who it was that we killed, but it's okay.
It's just that we're going to be having them as a live interview here in the future. So,
that's right. I'm so sorry.
Be able to cover that. But thanks for spoiling it for everybody, Dave.
Oh, it's no big deal.
Yes. Anyway, as I said, we'll be getting to the UFO sightings and also the Jordan Maxwell lecture wrapping up the Bay Area UFO Expo series. Before we get to the UFO sightings, we have our CEO from AboveTopSecret.com, Bill Irvin, sometimes known as the Skeptic Overlord, on this website right now, and he has some information he wants to share with everybody. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. You know, I think here right now we have evidence that, you know, I am a regular, normal, everyday person. I'm not making you call my secretary.
He listened to the show. Let me make this down. Let me write.
You gotta be careful because now you know I listen.
We do have to be careful. So I just wonder how far I could go without you know and seeing if you actually listen to us. Whoa, he's listening now, John. We're in trouble.
I see no Gladys Jean in your future, Bill.
And also, you know, it is unfortunate about the contest you have going. I think we could run a new contest that would be a lot of fun for ATS Mix. And I think we need to have, of course, somebody's going to have to suffer through the research to get the actual number. But I think we need to have a contest that members can guess how many times in all of the ATS mixes Dave has said, "You know what really chaps my buttocks?"
Oh, boy, that could be a task.
I'm sure it's in the tens of thousands.
Oh, it has to be.
I can see Guinness Book of World Records being called up on this one, yeah.
Man, really. Well, you know, now that we got you on the horn, though, boss, I mean, this has been a really a weird week. Not weird the weird sense, but I mean weird in a neat way. You want to tell everybody what's going on this week with it?
Well, yeah, it's good. Today is the day that our book finally goes officially on sale, that you've been able to do some pre-orders. But the Jim Maher's book, Above Top Secret, Uncover the Mysteries of the Digital Age, is now for sale worldwide. And we're also selling it on ATS. There's a banner at the top of the page. You click through to that. Little information about the book. And you can order directly from our e-commerce partner connection and have it delivered. I think they even have overnight delivery if you're really anxious to uncover them damn mysteries of the digital age.
Wow.
But the interesting thing is something that could indicate we're in for possibly a pretty good success with this book. When you go to Amazon.com, I don't know if you've ever searched on books or things on Amazon, and you type in...
Dave does that all every day.
I search for books all the time.
I'm sure you do.
I just don't want to find them, but I search for them.
Well, they don't have the DVDs you're looking for on Amazon.
That's right.
But if you're familiar with the process, and maybe when we're done, you can try it and go, oh, look, it really does work that way. As you begin to type in the title of something, they have like this automatic helper that gives you the titles for things that might match that other people have searched for. And if you type in above, it gives you Above Top Secret as one of the title book titles that you could pick. So what that means is other people in recent, past 7 days have also been searching on that on Amazon because that it made it into their little search helper application.
Well, wow, that's a compliment and a half, isn't it?
Yeah, that's encouraging. And I'm anxious to see member reactions once they get the book and read it and post their comments. It's just I haven't finished reading the final draft. I've read the entire preliminary draft. So there's a few minor tweaks in here, all for the best, but most of them appear to be slight formatting changes. But it's just amazing. Jim has done a great job, and what's really different about this book than his previous titles is he'll focus on just one or two core themes for his book, and usually just one, and then really dig into that. But here he's done a great job of summarizing and digging still pretty deep into 19 topics that he pulled from ATS. And Jim has been on the site a bit, but I think a lot of people aren't really aware of he really is the world's preeminent conspiracy theory author. You've had him on your show, and still, I think a lot of people on ATS just aren't aware. I mean, he wrote the huge blockbuster bestseller, Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy, right, which the Oliver Stone movie was based on.
I was in that movie.
You were in that movie?
Yeah, I was in the movie JFK when they shot here in Dallas. I was in the scene in Jack Ruby's club.
I thought Joe Pesci played that character. That was you?
No. I was at the table that was like two tables away from Joe Pesci and the other clowns that were sitting there at the table at the strip club. Yeah, we had to sit there from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. that night watching that girl take her clothes off. That's how long that particular shot was. You know how long it lasted in the movie? 43 seconds.
Yeah, it was a short scene.
Yeah, we got to correct you. He hasn't been on our show, but he's going to be on the show on the show number 106, which is coming up on the 21st, John?
Works for me.
Okay, the 21st of November, we're going to feature Jim Mars in our interview with him about the book, and we're going to talk about things. And by the way, they can still go if they hurry and post a question or two on the guest thread in the ATS Mix area for Jim Mars. And I think it's got like 75 replies right now, so you better hurry if you want to do it.
I've read through some of those questions, and there's quite a few that I'd like to see answered. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like there's going to be enough time. So maybe I can talk you guys into going overtime.
Yeah, we can do that. Sure, love to do that. We get Jim to do it.
Yeah, if you can get Jim to do it, that would be a lot of fun, I think. One other point, I know you guys don't have a lot of time for the skeptic overview, but there is something that can sort of fill in the blank in this brief little time we have. One of the new pages that was launched in the new site redesign that was a couple of months ago now, but still a lot of people may not be aware of it. A lot of non-members go to this page, but not too many members actually visit this page when looking at the stats. If you go to the site home, you'll see a link at the top that says This Week, and what you can do is you can see all of the most important, meaning as far as top flagged threads in the past 7 days, as well as the most popular, and really get a good sense as to the feel of what was happening on ATS for this current week. And you can also go back and look at the past 30 days, the past 90 days, the past half year, 1 year, 2 years. So it's a pretty interesting page to get a feel for that. A little slice of what's happening right now. A great thread called The American History You're Not Supposed to Know, a collection of links of things that many people may not realize that happened throughout history that aren't necessarily talked about, in the history books.
Right.
And another in response to Barack Obama's election that we were just talking about. Well, this will be the third podcast now we're talking about that, I guess.
Right.
Welcome to the USSA.
Yeah, these guys.
And another one, well, you know, it's inevitable. We get, like I said, I think I mentioned this in one of the previous podcasts, we get a Palladian thread at least once a month, and we have a new person claiming to have received messages from the Palladians, and he's got... well, there you go. That's what he's got.
You know, one of the most controversial ones, as I'm scanning down in this week, is the recent reversal, if you will, of the same-sex marriage thing in California. You know, that really blows me away that thing didn't pass.
It didn't chap your buttocks?
You know, here's... Well,
it chapped Johnny's buttocks.
No, it did not. Well, not in the sense that Dave is trying to refer to, but I'll tell you something that that cracks me up, that something as monumental and as important as that bill, the one bill that also passed, which kind of cracks me up, is that everybody got really wrapped up into the living environments of chickens in California. And so a bill was passed to make the living arrangements for chickens better before we slaughter them, you know.
Yeah. I love it. They put them in little chicken hotels and have little chicken races and little, you know, chicken bartender.
So even though chickens have better living environments, I'm sorry, if you want to have a better living environment with your same-sex partner, forget it.
Yeah. Unless you go, bark, 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 bark. Unless you...
Well, getting back
now
to the same sex.
That's what kind of chaps my hide, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead, John.
Well, getting back to Proposition 8, Johnny, did you have that on your ballot when you went to vote?
Yes, we did.
Now, I had heard conspiracy theory type stuff about that proposition, that it was worded rather funky.
Yes.
And that if you voted yes to it, that meant you didn't want people to have marriage.
That's correct. Even the I was going to say commercial spots, but they weren't commercial spots. But the advertisements on TV were very misleading. And so it made you – it led one to – at least for me, some of the ones that I viewed, it led one to believe that if you voted yes on it, that you in a sense were for it. But
correct.
In actuality, it was the reverse.
Yeah. Right.
And that's – I guess there were somebody coming out saying that there were some robocalls – sponsored by some religious group that essentially did say that they focused a lot of people in gay community saying, make sure you vote yes on Proposition 8 to support gay marriage.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a lot of misinformation about that going out because the wording was so funky. And I guess that's the latest thing happening where it's it was strange. A lot of people went in voting yes, expecting that yes meant they supported gay marriage.
Well, you know, I tell you, it really blew me away that it didn't pass. And so, you know, that stands to reason that the way it was worded, intentional or not intentional, I would lean towards intentional, to mislead people. I mean, I just couldn't imagine that not passing in one of the most liberal states in you know, the United States. You know, that just blows me away.
Well, can you imagine Alaska reelecting a convicted felon as their senator?
Duh, what's wrong with that deal, you know? Lord.
That's the screwy one. This guy was down 22 points in the polls going into the election, and he won.
Yeah. Didn't the same thing happen with Marion Barry years ago? Remember that?
Yes.
That's one of those rare cases where a crackhead got reelected and probably still remains a crackhead.
Right. You know? As opposed to Bush being reelected and he was a cracker.
But I'm pumped.
Well, you know where we can get him a cracker ring?
Oh, God.
Sorry. Hi, Steve-O. Miss you, bro.
That's a comedic callback for you folks that are wondering. Tune in to last week's episode to know what Dave's talking about.
104, yeah.
Sorry. Anyway, so make sure you go and you visit the This Week page for all the latest stuff that's happening over the past 7 days. It gives you a really good snapshot into the current stream of consciousness that's being developed by all the members and contributors of Above Top Secret.
Perfect.
Well, you know, I just got one last thing to say. I've been kind of really paying attention to the Quantcast bill, and I mean, we're getting really close to going down to the 22s.
Where are we now? Last I saw, we were
2309. We're getting close to getting to 22s.
And we are close to some pretty interesting sites. I was looking the other day. Oh, we already passed a couple. But yeah, we are in a lot of good company with where we sit in Quantcast. A couple dating sites, techfact.com. That's a really popular IT website. So we're they're in the 2277. They're just 30 away from where we are now.
Wow. Well, listen, you want to hang with us and listen to the show with us?
No.
Oh, okay.
I love the sincerity.
I do too. Yeah. And you know,
there's a whole bunch of now that the book is actually out in book form with, you know, a glossy cover and all kinds of fancy stuff. We're making another press. So we're revising the press materials, and tomorrow we have our PR guy, Justin, is talking to some TV stations and radio stations, trying to get Jim Mars some airtime to talk about the book. So a lot of materials to get ready in advance of that.
Right. Well, listen, we appreciate you dropping in and doing the intro with us, Bill.
Hey, for you guys, anytime. As long as I don't do something that chaps your buttocks, I'll do it.
Okay, well, this wasn't one of the times that my buttocks was chapped, but we sure appreciate it, Bill. Thanks for your time, brother.
All right, no problem.
All right, man.
And now, here it is. You've been waiting for it. It's your UFO sightings from Canada and the U.S.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From above, topsecret.com.
Ah, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings.
From around the world.
These are the reported sightings over the United States. This is David C. In Utah, a viewer noted, last night I couldn't get to sleep and I got up to open up my window, and since it was such a beautiful night, I just stood there looking at the sky. Then I saw lights going in and out of the clouds, and at first I thought it was a spotlight, but then two others came into sight at the same time. Then, coming from the west, I saw something strange. It looked like a formation of red lights, but it was not in the same formation that any of our planes would use, as there was one at the top and three sets of red lights below each other, and then one at the bottom. They were not blinking lights. I did see one white light blink just at the edge of them, but only once, and they seemed to be traveling rather slow. There was no sound to be heard, which was strange because it was close enough in the sky that I would have heard any sound it might have made. I watched until I couldn't see the object anymore, but it was heading in a northeastern direction. As I think back, the first white light that I thought was a spotlight and the two that followed it had disappeared into the clouds just before I saw the object of the red lights. In Kansas, an observer stated, I was driving home when I saw a really bright light up in the sky. At first I thought it was a star. Then I saw it was, in fact, an object of some type, though I really couldn't make it out. I passed this figuring. It was just some helicopter hovering perfectly over the road. When I saw a low-flying object slowly come down at an angle towards the ground as if to land. Though the airport is not over there, and I don't know of any airstrip in that direction. At first, I thought it was a plane, but then the object stopped in midair, hovering. It had at least three bright white lights on it, and one red blinking light. The shape of it seemed to be pretty thin, shaped kind of like a saucer. It looked to me like it had a flat top and the edges came out its light diagonals pointing towards the ground. I was not able to get a very good look for long because I was driving and was literally just about at my exit, though I did brake to slow down and get a longer look. I have no clue if it made noise or not. I happened to be listening to my radio very loudly at the sighting. I believe that some others on the road saw it and thought it was something strange as well, as I noticed cars braking abnormally near the object. This is David C., reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
Well, it's been several weeks now, Dave, as we've been presenting the Bay Area UFO Expo Lecture Series. And I know that I've been enjoying it. Have you been enjoying it?
You know how you watch a show a second time and you always pick up on something? Well, I did exactly that listening to the lecture series, so I've really had a good time with it.
Perfect. And, of course, this series, which I believe is the fifth in our series, is going to be featuring a gentleman who is never for a lack of words. In fact, he may be a distant cousin or uncle of yours, Dave. You're never for a lack of words.
Oh, you're talking about the ever omnibus Jordan Maxwell. Is that who you're talking about?
I don't know if he's ever been called that, the ever ominous.
Ominous?
Yeah. Jordan Maxwell is a great gentleman who has a world of information at his fingertips. And so we present to you from the Bay Area UFO Expo Convention Hall number 3, this is Jordan Maxwell.
Jordan Maxwell.
joining me today. I've had many kind things said about me that are very generous, but I don't really consider myself to be doing what many people perceive me doing. I'm very much afraid, and I don't mind saying that I'm afraid even living in my own country today, because I know that the people who are destroying this great republic know who I am by now. And I've had enough threats over the phone and other ways to let me know that I'm not only just being watched, but I'm being watched with an eye to one never knows what these people might do. But I figure I've come this far, and I say truthfully, it's just my feeling, but my God who brought me here has allowed me to be here. And until such time as I have accomplished what I started to do, I'm trusting that the Spirit, the Great Spirit, will continue to do what it has always done in my case, and that is to protect me. Because I truly believe that nothing happens by chance. I don't believe that I started doing what I do by mere chance. It was back in 1959, I came to California, and I was very... I had already, in my younger life, my teen years, and even as a young kid, I was always interested in theology and UFOs. I was born and raised about a mile from Gulf Breeze, Florida, and Gulf Breeze is world famous for UFOs and extraterrestrial kind of activity. And anyone who's in the UFO field knows that Gulf Breeze is very famous for that. I was born about a mile away from Gulf Breeze, and so I grew up, even at 6, 7, and 8 years old, having other world experiences. I've had entities coming in my bedroom when I was 7 and 8 years old. I've had extraordinary experiences in my life, which has amazed me. I realized that nothing was happening by chance. I would meet people, I would have experiences, UFO experiences, but it has been very difficult for me. I've had a lot of problems with my home life. I lost my wife because of my work. I have lost so much because of what I do. I've been threatened. I've had all kinds of tragedies to have to deal with and live through. But for some reason or another, at this point in my life, appears to have been part of what I do. It's, you have the name, you have the game. And so I just go with the flow, and whatever's supposed to happen, I just let it happen. I don't try and do anything any longer, because I have found out that, or at least this is my belief, based on all of my years of dedication to doing what I do, and that is researching the world of the occult, I am totally convinced for myself that nothing happens in your life that wasn't supposed to. I don't care if it's a tragedy, I don't care if it's meeting someone, and I go so far as to say no matter how small and insignificant a situation might be, there was a reason. I believe that there is a higher power in the universe that directs the affairs of men. And I am totally convinced that this is something that has taken me for many years. I first was interested back in 1959 when I first came to California. I was very... how many of you have heard me tell the story about the young lady I met? Okay, most of you have, so I won't go into that. Oh, okay. 1959, I arrived in Los Angeles with about $9 in my pocket on a Friday night. I have no idea in the world where I was. 19-year-old kid on the bum, so to speak, and I ended up in Los Angeles. And after about a week, I finally found a job. And this was in North Hollywood. I ended up in North Hollywood. We're talking about 48 years ago. And I went to a restaurant in North Hollywood on a Saturday morning, and North Hollywood, And there was no seats in the house except one at the counter. And so I sat at the counter, and there was a young lady sitting next to me, a young girl sitting next to me, about, I was 19, I figured she was about 17 years old. Her name was Sharon. And I, so we started talking and come to find out that I only lived a couple of blocks from her, and we both only lived about three or four blocks in town. So when we walked home, she lived about two blocks further from town than I did, and I lived about three blocks from town. So we started meeting on Saturdays and Sundays downtown, and then when we walked home, she knew where I lived, but I never followed her home, so I didn't know exactly where she lived, but I knew it was a couple blocks away. And this went on for three or four months, and one night she came over to my apartment and said, my dad wants to talk to you. And I thought to myself, and I told her, I'm not interested to talk to your father about anything. I've got nothing to say to him. And so she said, no, my father is a very important man, and he wants to talk to you about something. He has something to tell you. So it sounded interesting. So I went with her. And when I was walking up to the house with her, he happened by chance to be coming out of the house. And the moment I saw him, I had a strange, overwhelming feeling of a spiritual feeling come over me that I can't explain. But it was a euphoric feeling, some kind of a spiritual reaction to this man's presence. And I noticed immediately, the thing I noticed about him just instantly was that he was totally in control of himself. There was nothing that he did that wasn't pre-planned. I mean, you could tell the way he moved, the way he acted, his mannerisms. I knew there's something about this guy that's off the wall. I've never seen anyone operate like this before. So he motioned for us. He said, come on in. And I'm watching him. And I went in and sat down. Well, my girlfriend, Sharon, had a younger sister named Mary. So the two girls sat on the floor by the fireplace. And there was a sofa. And he sat on one end of the sofa. And I sat on the other. His wife, I didn't meet that night, was in the kitchen. And so we were just, he was just talking, asking me how I like living in California, and how do you like your job, and are you working, how do you like the job, and weather, and whatever. Just making small talk, and I became more at ease around him. Though my spirit and my gut told me that this man is not a normal man. I don't know what I'm in the presence of here, but whatever it is, I know there's something going on here. But my inhibitions were dropping, and because he was a very pleasant, very nice guy. And so we talked for a few minutes about all kinds of things. And then he said to me, very nonchalant, he said, remember back in Florida when you were 8 years old, how your father built a new back porch? Your uncle helped him. They tore down the old back porch and built a new back porch. And he said, remember how your dad used green lumber and it smelled funny because it was green lumber? And one night when you were in bed, you got out of bed, remember? And it was a very bright moon. And you went out on the back porch and you, excuse me, and you looked at the moon and you talked to God. And remember when you talked to God, what you said? And I was frightened and tears were coming to my eyes. And I didn't want to show tears in front of my girlfriend, but I was scared. And he looked at me very nonchalant and he says, did that happen or didn't it? And I said, yes, that happened. And he said, what did you say to God? And I didn't say anything for a moment because I was searching for, who is this man and why is he doing this? And he said, what did you say? You said to God that you wanted to do something important with your life. Isn't that what you said? And I said, yes, that's what I said. And he said, well, how did I know that? How would I have known that? I said, I don't know how you know that. And he said, I know that because we were there. We heard you. You just didn't see us, did you? And I really was very emotional and fighting back the tears because he was frightening me. And he says, we've been watching you for a long time. And after all, you did ask to do something, didn't you? And I said, yes. He said, well, that's why we brought you to California, because we're going to train you and prepare you to do something for us. But it will not come till much later in your life, but you have to start somewhere. So we have brought you here. And I said, what do you mean brought me here? He said, well, why are you here? And I said, I don't know why I'm here. I just ended up in California, Los Angeles. He said, no, we brought you here. We have something for you to do, but it will not be for many years to come, later on in your life, but we are going to start you on a journey. And one day, when the time comes, you will know what it is that you have to do. And he gave me a book. He said, I want you to go home and read this book, and we will talk later. And I'm still mesmerized listening to this guy. And he gave me the book. He gave me a book to read, which is The Complete Works of Charles Fort. I don't know if you've ever heard of that book, but you can still buy it today. And it's an extraordinary book. Then he said to me, he said, where you lived as a child, you were always interested in UFOs and aliens, weren't you? And I said, yes, I always been. He said, have you ever seen a UFO up close? And I said, no. He said, yes, we know that. I know that. But would you like to see one tonight? And I said, yes, I would. He said, well, come with me. This is in North Hollywood, Los Angeles, 1959. And we went out into the front yard. The two girls went with me and him. And he looked up in that sky and started inaudibly talking to someone. But not, you couldn't hear him, but his mouth is moving. He's talking to someone. And then he turns to me and says, they said they'll be here in a few minutes. They'll be coming from the mountain, from Griffith Park, and they're going north. And they'll be here in a couple of minutes, they said. And I said, who are you talking about? And he said, you'll see. And a few moments later, three UFOs, for lack of a better term, unidentified flying objects. They were beautiful, round, disc-shaped things which looked like a pie cut into six or eight slices, and each slice was a different color. And they were circulating the colors, but not so fast as to blend the colors, but just circulating. But the thing I noticed about them was the colors were so incredibly brilliant, like laser colors, very brilliant color. And they're circulating, three of them, in a triangle formation, came over and hovered right above us, very close, and I making no sound at all. And I was, of course, at 19 years old, I was totally blown away. And I'm standing there staring at these beautiful three disc-shaped objects. And I look at him, and he's looking at me. And I look at the girls, and they're looking at me. And my girlfriend has got the look on her face like, well, I told you, this is him. And I was amazed. I was looking at the girls. I looked at him. I was looking at, and I was just, I had no words to describe the beauty of what I was seeing. And then he talked with them again, couldn't hear him. And then they left and went out north and went over and they're gone. And I said, what in the world was that? He said, that's us. We're here. And we have something for you to do. So tonight I'm going to begin your journey for you. And this is what I want you to do. Take this book, go home, and later on we will talk more. And I did. Took the book home, went all through it. But my mind was spinning that night because even at 19 years old, I had the presence of mind to know. As inexperienced as I was, I had the presence of mind to know that I have been in the company of an extraordinary man tonight. And something is transpiring and happening to me. I felt it. And that was just the beginning of at least 36 major peak experiences in my life that I have had. Extraordinary stuff. Which brings me to the point I want to talk about a little bit tonight, and that is why the world is the way it is. I did a video called The Sons of God. In my opinion, is an extremely important subject. Zachariah Sitchin, I was in business with for some time. I helped send him to different companies and countries. What I had wanted to do, I was working at a company called Truth Seeker in San Diego, and I was pretty much running the company for about 2.5 years. So I had access to funds and the attorneys. I had their attention, and so I was pretty much on my own to spend whatever money I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do with the company. So I talk with Zachariah Sitchin. I told him I wanted to do a 13-week, 13 one-hour series with him, and he was agreeable. We sent him to like five different countries. Unfortunately, that situation did not work out. The lady who was the I guess you would call the manager of the foundation, decided about three quarters of the way through that she didn't want to finance it anymore. And so she just said, I don't want to do that anymore. And I said, what do you mean you don't want to do that anymore? You got a contract with this man. We've already spent hundreds of $100,000 on this man. And she said, I don't care. I don't want to do it anymore. That's it. It's over. Well, Zachariah Sitchin didn't lose out anything. I mean, he did well. I said, you know, he went to four or five countries and had everything videotaped. And so he didn't lose anything. I did. The company ultimately did. But I helped bring over a lot of people and get a lot of people started during those years. This was like 1992 to 95. I brought David Icke to America. I got him started with his lectures in America, printing his books and publishing his books, I mean, and sending him around the world to speak. Let's see, Richard Hoagland, John Rappaport, gave John Rappaport a job and got him started doing what he's doing now. And so I've had the opportunity to be in the company of and help a lot of people get started in this field. But I feel that it's because I was supposed to do this. I go with the flow right now because, as I said in the beginning, I'm rather fearful about being who I am now and doing what I do. But I just have to believe that the Spirit is protecting me because I get threats from the federal government. I've had telephone threats. Sometimes I'll be talking on the phone and they will break in on my conversations. And I will hear them walking around. You can hear them walking around talking about me. And then they'll hang up. Well, that's enough of a threat right there. If you're talking with someone and all of a sudden a third party picks up a line and is walking around talking about you and then hangs up, it's not by chance. They just want you to know they're there and they're listening to you. I had an FBI agent quite a few years ago. When I had an office in Glendale, I had an FBI agent contact me, and he said, Jordan, I just want to tell you that, he said, this is not a, well, first of all, when he called, he said he was an FBI agent in San Diego, and he gave me his name, so I said, I'll call you back, and I hung up. So I called the operator and called information to get the telephone number of the FBI in San Diego. I called them, asked for him, and they put me through to him. So now I know for sure he is FBI. Because I get all kinds of phone calls from people tell me all kinds of things. I don't know who they are. But so I established he was who he said he was. And he said, I just want to let you know that your government does not consider you to be a threat. Now, this is quite a few years ago. And he said, but we are watching everywhere you go, what you do, and who you're talking to. And as long as people are hearing you, your government does not consider you to be a threat. If people are hearing you, they don't. The government does not care if people are hearing you. It's when people begin to listen to you, now you're going to be considered a threat. If people are just entertained by hearing you, is one thing. But if they're starting to seriously listen to you and we're beginning to see something happening around you where people are starting to listen, we're going to have to look at you again. But at this moment, you are not considered to be a threat. And he said, I just want you to know that the working class people at the FBI appreciate and admire what you do. But just be aware that the government is watching everything you do. Well, now I know that, of course, when I was on George Norrie with back in 2005 in April, toward the end of the program, the telephone company, if you heard that program, I got cut off. And when I got cut off, right in the middle of a sentence, I'm talking to George, and the phone went dead. And when it went dead, it came back on a few seconds later, and I could hear people walking around in an office, a very small one, because it was reverberating very close. You could hear them walking around, talking to each other. And somebody, one of the guys, said something to the effect, somebody's going to have to deal with this guy. Or somebody's going to have to do something about this guy. Something like that. And then they started talking a little bit. And I couldn't get it. And then all of a sudden somebody walked over to her and walking over and hanging up the phone. Well, I don't think that happens by chance. They wanted me to hear that. And they wanted me to know that they could shut me off, you know, right in the middle of a radio show. So I am, as I said in the beginning, I am afraid right now for my safety in this country, because there are a lot of people talking about conspiracies and UFO, and like Bob Dean said today, the UFO situation is far more serious than what we think it is. And I told you, as I said before, about this Sons of God subject matter. In the Bible, there's a very different words for angel. There are different kinds of entities in the Old Testament. One is called angels, one are called watchers, one is called Rephaim. Another group of entities in the Bible, in the Old Testament, are the sons of God. And in the book of Genesis 18, we're introduced for the first time to something called the sons of God, who look like men. And they began taking women and having offspring. So I've been fascinated with that subject, because I think that they're still here, just as Bob Dean said today. I think that these sons of God, whoever they are, that look like us, no, we look like them. And if we are their creation, because remember, God said in the beginning in Genesis 1:28 about Adam and Eve, come let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Rabbi Marvin Antleman, who was a head of a very important rabbinical association back in the mid-60s, I used to talk with him all the time. Rabbi Antleman said, you know, so many people misread that, both Jews and Gentiles misread what the scriptures are saying. He said to me, nowhere in the Bible does it say God created man. It doesn't say that. It says God, the gods, first of all, in Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's not what it says in Hebrew. That's not what it says in the original. That's a mistranslation in the King James Bible. What it actually says in the original is, in the beginning of the creation, the Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is not God, it's gods in the plural. So it should be correctly read, in the beginning of the creation, the gods created the heavens and the earth, not God. The word God is simply the word dog spelled backwards. So once you understand that Elohim means the gods, more than one, then it makes sense that in Genesis 1:28, the gods, plural, said, come let us make man in our image, after our likeness, because he's already here, so come let us remake this creature. Come let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So we are made in the image and the likeness of the Elohim, or the gods. So we say, well, there have been so many instances in the Bible where angels appeared to people and they looked like a man, or looked like a woman, or looked like a man, and a man walked up and did this, and a man did that. We found that they weren't men. In Genesis 18, for instance, in Genesis 18 is a story about Abraham and his wife Sarah, and there was, and it says that three men come walking up into the camp, and Abraham went out and greeted them and asked them, well, what is my Lord saying to his servant? He bowed down and did a worship to them, and they said they were on their way to take care of some business, and he said, well, stay here and have something to eat. And the three of them said, no, we cannot stay, we're on our way to other business. And it says in the Bible, in Genesis 18, that Abraham insisted that the three men at least stay to have something to eat, and then they could go. And so the wife fixed him dinner. Two of the men, the Bible says, got up and left and went to Sodom and Gomorrah. The third one stayed, and it said the third one was the God, the Creator, in all capital letters, the Creator God. And so, of course, we in Genesis 19, the two angels, the two men, go into Sodom and Gomorrah. It said the homosexuals thought they were good-looking men, handsome men, but they weren't exactly men. They were the sons of God, the Elohim, the Anunnaki, if you please. entities that look like men, but they are supra-men and have come here from another place. We call it God. We call them sons of God or angels. No, no. Something else is going on here, and they are among us right now. And so when I see that in the Bible, and there's many, many other places in the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, that testify to the fact that there are entities that look like humans, and they're here. I am totally convinced that I've come across some of them, and I've been in the company of some of these entities. I got interested in the conspiratorial apparatus quite by chance. I was always fascinated with Nazism. I've always been fascinated with the Nazi Party and who Adolf Hitler and his Nazi cohorts really were, because I realized a long time ago that Adolf Hitler was not who you think he was. And he was not doing what you think he was doing. That there's a lot more to the subject of Hitler that has not been told to us. It's a bigger story. So I've been very interested in what was going on with Adolf Hitler, really. Because we know that Americans and all the American banks and all the European banks were financing him. And Adolf Hitler got his financing from America. That's where he got his money from. So there was something going on between America, the Europeans, and England, and Germany that were financing the Nazis. And then when I began to see the religious or spiritual connection with the ancient Jewish religion and the Nazi religion, and there is an extraordinary connection between ancient Judaism of the Old Testament and the symbols, words, and terms of the Nazi Party. And there's another component of this between ancient Judaism, the Nazi Party, also the Vatican comes into the picture. In all religions, there are different levels of understanding. I mean, the common people understand the religion one way. The priests understand it a little different, a little more. Then the higher up priests understand it a little different. And of course, it keeps going till you get to the very top, and they've got a whole different thing that they're on. The Pope is into a whole different world than what the common Catholic is. Well, the same thing is true in Nazism. That when you start going up the ladder in the Nazi philosophy, when you get to the very top of what we call Nazi philosophy, that is referred to as High Catholicism. High Catholicism is what we today call Nazism. The Vatican is the basis for Nazism and for the whole entire Germanic racial thing on the earth. And logic alone would tell you that Europe has been dominated for at least 2,300 years by Rome, under the Caesars of Rome. And then when the fall of the Roman Empire, the Vatican rises to still keep control over the European establishment of the hierarchy of princes and kings and rulers. And so for 1,600 years, the Vatican has dominated Europe. And so we're talking about 2,300 years Rome has dominated Europe under the Caesars, under the Vatican. And for 2,300 years, Europe has dominated the earth. And so ultimately, you begin to take this stuff back to its beginnings, and you will find that the Vatican and the whole entire ancient Roman system is the whole answer to what's going on the planet today. The wars of America are Roman-inspired, Vatican, Catholic-inspired. The stuff that's going on in the Middle East today, the Holy Father in Rome is behind. And as far as I'm concerned, my mother and my family were all Catholics on both sides of my family. And so I am not condemning the Catholic people. I was one of them. But what I'm telling you is that the Vatican, after 48 years of looking at this subject of secret societies, Illuminati, I'm telling you that the powers that be behind the world scene are religious, not political. I don't want to talk too much about the system because I'm afraid to. There are things that I would love to be able to tell you, but I'm afraid for my life talking about certain things which I know people here. I don't know who they might be, but there's got to be somebody here listening to me in this audience who are connected to government. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Or eventually somebody's going to hear this on a tape. So either way, powers of government are going to ultimately hear me, and they already know who I am and watching me anyway. But when you understand how the Vatican views the world of mankind and how the Vatican views England and the British, and how the British are the servants of the Vatican, and there's a connection, a religio-political connection between the royalty of England and the Vatican's hierarchy. And if you go on my website, you'll see a lot of the symbolism that make the connection between the Vatican and Britain today. And then with the coming of America, it's just an extraordinary story about how the world really works. I would guarantee you this. Nothing in this world operates the way you think it does. Nothing. Nothing that you see happening today operates the way you think it does. Banks. I mean, when you give you an example, there are only two things on the earth. This is what the ancient Romans said, and this is still today understood. There are only two things on the earth: earth, land, and water. So there are two basic kinds of law on the earth: the law of the land and the law of water. The law of water is the law of the high seas. The law of water is the law of money, because the law of the land is the law of the people who live on a particular piece of land. But the law of the land is different in every country because the culture is different in every country. So you can do things in Russia you can't do in South Africa. You know, you can do things in China you can't do in America, because it's the law of the land. The land is where the people live. But there is another higher law that Rome has instituted for the past 2,300 years. It's called the law of the sea, maritime admiralty. The law of water, the law of the ocean. So the law of water is in fact the law of money. Money is considered to be water. It is the liquid asset, the cash flow. And consequently, when you begin to understand how banks work, and where do you find a bank? Banks on both sides of a river, called river banks. Where do you find, what does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency. Because your money is currency. It's a current. It's a cash flow. It's the liquid assets. And consequently, when you are broke, you're in hot water. You know? And if you get in trouble with the cops, they're going to have to bail you out. Okay? Because your body is over 90% water, or close to 90% water. So let me give you an example about how maritime works, or how the law of water works. When a ship pulls into a harbor, all ships around the world are considered female. That's why you have captains will always talk about she's a good ship, or she's seaworthy, she's this, she's that. All ships, if it's a rocket ship, sailing ship, airship, it doesn't matter. If it's a ship, it's female, because she carries the product. And it's a commercial term. So when a ship pulls into a harbor, it parks at the dock. It's tied off at the dock, and consequently, every single item coming in on that ship came in on water, and therefore it is under maritime control. It's under banking control. Money is changing hands. Every time a ship pulls in a harbor, money's changing hands. So each piece, say for instance you've got $800 million worth of Toyotas or TV sets, whatever, each and every individual piece has to have a certificate of manifest. Because yesterday the ship wasn't here, but today it manifested. So it manifested $800 million worth of Toyotas. So consequently, every ship, every piece that's coming off that ship must have its own manifest. It's called a certificate of manifest. Why? Because she brought the product in. She's sitting in her berth. And that's why when you were born, you came out of your mother's water. And so you have to have a birth certificate. It's signed by the dock. The dock signs your birth certificate. Because you are a maritime admiralty product. You came out of your mother's water. And so your body is a security on the New York Stock Exchange. And your body is worth money. And if you were able, if you were able to get your birth certificate, not a certified copy, but get the original birth certificate back, you will see on the back of the birth certificate stamped all over the world, banks from China to Asia to all Africa, all over the world, stamps on the back of your birth certificate from different banks around the world. Because your birth certificate is a certificate of manifest, because your body is a security on the New York Stock Exchange. Therefore, you are a security for what we call the body social. The body social is America, the social body we call America. And your body is a security because you continue to work and make money and pay taxes, so you're a security for the system. So when you retire, you get social security. No, you are the security for the body social. You're only getting a dividend back for what you have put into the system. I don't have any problem with the social security. I don't have any problem with taxes. I don't have any problem with any of that. It's just a monetary system. So I, if you understand how the system works, it has many, many flaws, of course, any human system does, but it has given to the greater a number of people in America a very high living. We live better here in this country than kings have in Europe for hundreds of years. So I'm not condemning the system. I just think it's important that the people understand how the system works. Because I use this as an example. If you have a two-story building and you want to put a lot of weight on the second floor, like printing presses or whatever, the smart thing to do is get on a ladder and go up under the, remove the ceiling tiles and look at the foundation of the second floor before you go building on it. So what you're doing is you're standing under the foundation to get understanding. That's where the word comes from, to understand. Means to stand under the foundation you're going to build on. Get an education. Understand how things work. Once you begin to see how banking works, then it becomes apparent that's why we have courts. Why do you have a court? You play basketball and tennis on a court. How do you play tennis on a court? You play with a racket. And these words are all meant to, these words are purposely used. And the judge rules from the bench. Look up in a Latin dictionary, you'll find the word bench means a bank. Banks were called benches in the Latin world. So today, the judge rules from the bench or the bank. And that's why he wears a black robe. Black robes were always the symbol for the god Saturn. Saturn was the god of banking and law and government. That's why judges wear a black robe. Black was a color associated with the planet Saturn. And to wear a black robe implies that you are a Saturnian priest. You represent government. You represent the money, the bank. And of course, the bank and the court, it's a game. Because like I said, basketball and tennis on a court. The same thing in a court, in a lawful court. You've got this team of lawyers and that team of lawyers. And the whole idea is put the ball back in the other guy's court. Then they pick it up and throw it back at you. And the judge is a referee wearing the black robe, the same black robe Catholic priests wear. Because all of this goes back to Rome. All of our whole judicial system and banking system goes back to the Vatican. And it can be traced back. The words, terms, and symbols can be traced all the way back to ancient Rome. Well, of course, that's where America came from, is from Europe. So we are continually operating under a Vatican European system and don't even realize it. So as you begin to see how the system works and that money is actually water, and of course your body, as I said, is almost 90% water, and your body is a biological battery. It's a battery, an electrical battery. And so if you get into hot water, they're going to put you in a cell, because that's what you do with the electrical battery, it's called a cell. So they're going to put you in a cell. So the entire superstructure of our laws, of our government, is based on occult hidden symbolism that the Vatican has been using for over 2,300 years. Rome has used these terms and symbols to manipulate, exploit, and control peoples around the world. Which brings me to my pet subject. And I may seem to be rattling on because there's so many things I'd like to be able to sit down and really explain to you, but there's so many different subjects that I've been looking at for so many years, But what I really would like for you to understand is that religion is the basis for all government on the earth. The church itself, the very word church, people talk about going to church and have no idea in the world what the word church means. Go back and look at the word church, and you will find the word church comes from a Scottish word. The English word is C-H-U-R-C-H, church. But in the Oxford Dictionary of the English language, you will find that church in the English language is traced back to a word in Scotland, kirk. Kirk is a church in Scottish. That's why you have Captain Kirk on the ship Enterprise, because that's what churches are. They are enterprise, they're corporations. That's why they're divided into denominations, like 20s and 100s and 50s. Denominations, money. It's just a corporation. It has nothing to do with anything spiritual. It has nothing to do with any divine presence in the universe. It's a business. The whole world is a business. And churches get their name from, that word comes from kirk. But interesting, the word kirk comes from a Greek goddess named Circe, or Circe. And the Greek goddess Circe was referred to as Mother Circe, or Mother Circe, or Mother Kirk, or Mother Church. And Circe in Greek mythology, if you go back and look at it, Circe was the goddess who was able to hypnotize people, bring them into her home, lock the door behind them, take their minds from them so that they would have no individuality ever again, take their minds from them, and now feed off of them, eat them, turn them into animals and eat them, or feed off of them. Well, this is exactly what Mother Church has done. In both England and America and around the Western world, the church has brought people in, magically brought them into her home, into her house, shut the door behind them so they no longer have any brains, they don't think, they don't question, they don't know, they don't ask, they don't have it. All they know is they're told what to do and they follow directions. And then of course they give them money. They send their checks. So therefore Mother Kirk is still, and Mother Circe is still living off of the people. And it's until such time as the people wake up and find out that the entire system of government, religion, theology, law, education, the entire superstructure of Western civilization is based on an occult order of Rome going back some 23 to 2400 years ago. And the people are continually being sucked into this enormous machine and never realizing for a moment they have lost their freedom, they've lost their integrity, they've lost their sovereignty. We've lost it all. I mean, Bob Dean was talking about the tragedies that are going on today. And when you see as a matter of fact, I have a quote. Let me give you a couple of classic examples of what's in the BBC of England had a quote from the BBC News yesterday. This is from a guy named Robert Preston, BBC business editor, said, quote, "The credit crunch is creating a new world order in banking and finance." Yeah, so what's going on in Washington, D.C. is purely business. Most people are crying and complaining about the bailout. They have no idea in the world. The United States is a corporation. It's a corporation. There's a world of difference between the United States of America as opposed to the United States. The United States, as far back as 1871, was considered a corporation, a privately owned corporation. And all corporations, if anybody who has a corporation knows, the corporations have to have a president. And they have to have a vice president and a secretary treasurer. That's corporate law. So today you have Bush, who's the president of, not America. Once a year they have a corporate board meeting called the Union, State of the Union, which is simply a corporate board meeting for the shareholders of the corporation, which is you. And so they say, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States. They never say president of America. He's not the president of the country called America. He's the president of a privately owned company chartered out of England. It is a religious Roman called the Religious Roman Trust. and it's referred to as the United States Corporation. So anytime you are looking at the United States government, what you're looking at is a privately owned company. It's a privately owned company, and most Americans have no idea in the world about that. They thought that the Congress represents America. The Congress does not represent America. Ask anybody in government, where is the United States? Ask anybody in government who is educated and knowledgeable, and I ask people this all the time, can you find the United States on a map? And they point to the United States of America, the country, and say, no, I said the United States, where is it? The one that George Bush is the president of. And they point to the country, call America. No. Go back and ask a corporate attorney, or sit down with somebody who studied this subject, and you will find that the word United States is applied to a 10-mile square called Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is a 10-mile square, and by law, that is referred to as United States. Now, the rest of the country is all a confederation of sovereign states. They're all different countries. But the United States is a privately owned company, a privately owned corporation, which, and each one of us is a U.S. citizen, so you're part of this corporation. And for California in particular, this will be interesting. If you say that you are a United States citizen, then what you're saying in law is that you are an employee of a privately owned company called United States, which is chartered out of England. And therefore, if you're in California, working in California, you're making money here, then you are referred to as a franchisee of a foreign corporation. Because if you're employed by a corporation in Washington, D.C., and you're working here and making money, then this is, you are like a franchisee. Like if you open up your own McDonald's here, you don't own McDonald's, you own your McDonald's, but you don't own McDonald's. So therefore you're a franchisee of a foreign corporation because the corporation is in a different place. And so today, in the 1849 Constitution of the California State Constitution, the original Constitution, 1849, said that there would be no state taxes ever charged in California state. California has no state taxes, period. But we do have a California Franchise Tax Board, because you are a franchisee of a foreign privately owned corporation called United States, of which George Bush is the president of a privately owned company. And you are the security on the stock exchange for the corporation. I am not the world's foremost authority on any of this. I'm just giving you concepts to think about, conceptual ideas so that you can wake up to realize that your sovereignty is in the hands of the God who created you. You are an individual, and you are alive because of the Spirit, the great Spirit that gives all life to the universe, has given us our life. And therefore, you need to start thinking in terms of your own individual sovereign thinking and not go along to get along and go with the flow what everybody else is into. Because ultimately, you're going to find out you've been had, you've been lied to. And everything that you've been taught is not true. The science alone is totally incorrect. Totally incorrect. The science has become a religion. Scientists get their money from government, so consequently they just do whatever they're told, and whatever the scientific community believes to be true, that's what all scientists will parrot. Why? Because you're getting a damn grant from the government. You're paying your rent from the government. So don't go against what the government says. And so one thing in relation to this you need to also keep in mind is that the government, when it gives grants, government always gets what it pays for, believe me. If they give you money to do something, you better do it. Bad enough that you don't, you know, if you take money from somebody and you don't do it, that's bad enough. If you take it from the federal government and you don't perform, that's serious. You can go to jail. So whatever the government pays for, it gets. Well, when you look around today, as Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Look at the fruitage of the religious political system we have in America today, the fruitage, drive-by shootings, gang wars, drugs, pornography, violence, corruption everywhere at every level and every institution. By their fruits you shall know them. So the idea is that you need to start thinking in terms of your own personal spirituality. And I would suggest, instead of being concerned with religion and the political events that are going on, forget it. It's totally unimportant. My suggestion, and this is just my view, I think what you ought to do is try something if you've never done it before, and that is to talk to the spirit. Assume that there is a higher intelligence around you, watching you. Assume that there is some kind of a higher life form watching you. And instead of being a religious person, become more spiritual. And the way to do that is so simple. Talk to the spirit by yourself. Find a place where there's no one around and talk audibly. You have to audibly talk to the spirit world. And ask the spirit world to guide you, to educate you, to make sure you meet who you're supposed to meet. Make sure you find what you're supposed to find and do what you're supposed to do. Talk as a personal relationship with the spirit world, because they're here and they're watching us. And when you do that, strange things will begin to happen. We call it synchronicity. No, no. The spirit world is watching you, and after all, you did ask. I mean, I learned that from Bob Fring. You did ask, didn't you? You asked the spirit to direct you. Well, now they're going to direct you. And you will begin to see that your life is changing. And the more you talk to the spirit in private, the more things will start coming to you. People out of nowhere will start to call you, give you information. All of a sudden, you've got a job going here. You've got people you're meeting there. And things are just happening. That's why the biblical concept is to go with the flow. You've asked God to direct you. Go with the flow. See what's going to happen. Talk to the spirit and say, show me what I am to know. Show me what I am to do. Make sure I meet the right people. Tell me what I am to do. Show me and I'll do it. And watch what happens. Very simple. You don't need a priest. You don't need a church. You have a personal relationship with the divine one that gave you life. And I'm telling you, it works. It's a very powerful concept of the human connecting to the spirit world. I've always been one who appreciates and understands that. I'm able to stand here and talk to you tonight. My work is known all over the world for what I'm doing, and I have been able to be in the company of incredibly important people and hear sensationally incredible things that I've learned from people all over the world. And I'm just one person. I just talk to the spirit all the time and ask him, show me what I can do. You know, show me what I need to do, and I will do it. So I'm suggesting that that's what each one of you should do, and start thinking about your personal relationship with the Creator. Forget about government. Forget about the international arrangements and all this crap that's going on. It means nothing. Because I'm telling you, just as Bob Dean said today, and I'm totally in agreement with it, I think that something very serious is getting ready to happen on the earth. People like Steven Spielberg and George Lucas are many things, but stupid isn't one of them. And Spielberg keeps telling us, he was interviewed in Los Angeles once, quite a long time ago, and Steven Spielberg said, I don't make movies to entertain people. I make movies to comment on important issues. My movies are a comment on something of importance. I don't care about entertaining people. Well, if that's true, that was his own words, so much of what Steven Spielberg has produced, monumentally brilliant stuff. But we're talking about poltergeists, spirit entities, UFOs, aliens. God knows all his movies about aliens and UFOs. As a matter of fact, Steven Spielberg produced a, I don't know, 15 or 19 hour television series called Taken. I don't know how, if you think about it, how much money would you think it would cost you to finance Steven Spielberg's movie, of an hour and a half movie? Well, he produced a television series of 19 hours, mini-series called Taken, about how the aliens are here, and they look like us, and they're taking people. I thought to myself, and I've said to producers in Hollywood, my God, what would that cost to finance Steven Spielberg for 19 hours? It was an incredible event. The point I'm making here is that there are a lot of people in Hollywood who are trying to tell you something. And I think very soon we are going to be coming face to face with the reality that nothing has ever happened on this earth by chance. We've been played for fools. Somebody higher in this universe is manipulating us, and I think very soon they're going to show themselves. I said this as much as 15 to 20 years ago. I believe that the people who are in power in this world are not human. It would not surprise me, and it's my personal belief, that the people in power in this world are not like us. They're not human. They look like us. Well, that's what the Bible says the sons of God were. They look like humans. I would not be a bit surprised to find out that this entire human race is being led by the Anunnaki, by entities who look like humans but are not truly human. And if that's true, and if it is in fact true, then we are in serious trouble. And the things that I have experienced in my own life tells me that there's something very serious going on the earth today. And I'm telling you, I believe we're going to see something happen within the next 6 months, probably less than that, that the powers that be have in mind shutting this whole entire republic down. The one thing that, the one sentence that I have ever heard that was absolutely totally true that George Bush has said, and it's 100% true, he said, our enemies hate us because of our freedoms. There's never been a more true statement than that. Many people thought it was silly and nonsensical to say something like, no, it was an extremely important sentence. Our enemies hate us because of our freedoms. And so our enemies are going to make sure they take away our freedoms. Yes, our enemies that hate this republic hate us because this is very important for you to remember. This is the only republic that's ever been established on the face of the earth, the only country that's ever been formed ever in the history of the world that has a written constitution that guarantees the sovereignty of each individual in it. This is why in the old West days, of cowboys could ride into town with a six gun, you know, with their pistols on their hips. They could carry guns, and if they had a falling out, and there were two grown men, and they had a falling out, they could go out the street in front of the sheriff's department, right? And right in front of the sheriff and draw on each other. Why? It's because each individual man was considered a sovereign, and he is able, a sovereign can arm himself. And if the sovereign wishes, he can declare war on another sovereign. The King of England can declare war on the King of France anytime he chooses to. It doesn't mean he's brilliant for doing that. It doesn't mean he'll win the war. It doesn't mean it makes sense. But he is the king. And being the king, he can declare war on another king if he just chooses to. And what are you going to do about it? And the other king has to defend himself from this guy. So he has a right to arm himself. Well, that's the same thing that was the way America was founded. Every man has a right to defend himself, carry a gun, and defend himself. It's because we were sovereigns. But today, there is no longer any sovereignty. Today, the entire world is a business, is a corporation. So if I get anything over to you tonight, I really want you to appreciate that you are a sovereign and that you have a spirit that you're in control of. Do not give it to these people who want to take your time, your essence, your spirituality, and manipulate you. This is what I have been wanting to do all my life, is I have always appreciated wisdom and knowledge, and I wanted to help spread knowledge and wisdom. That's what I want to do. I want to help people to wake up and find out they don't have to crawl on their knees to our religious or governmental establishment anymore. Start thinking for yourself and start talking and controlling your own thoughts.
Yeah, listen up.
From above, top secret.
Jesus Christ!
.com.
It's the same dream night after night. I hear this beating, this rhythm. I'm wandering like an unfulfilled lost soul through this misty haze. But I keep following the sound. It seems like I walk forever. In the distance, I see something beautiful, magnificent. It seems so far away, yet so near that I could reach out and touch it. As I approach closer, I can see millions of people, all ages, races, religions, philosophies. People from around the world and from every nation on terrestrial Earth. They're moving in mass towards something mystical, magical, magnetic. As I follow them, all of a sudden they begin to create a path for me to walk through. I can see something massive on the horizon. As I get closer, I see a banner unfurling in the gentle wind. It says, "Welcome to the revolution." The crowd begins cheering and celebrating. I'm so overwhelmed by the experience that I wake, still hearing the beating of the heart. And then my dream becomes crystal clear. I have found my holy grail. My thirst is quenched. My lifelong quest finally achieved. I have found AboveTopSecret.com. And my beating heart joins theirs. I have become a member. Welcome to our revolution. AboveTopSecret.com.
Here's a Dave and Johnny classic blast from your past.
In 3, 2, 3.
Just go now.
I am sleep deprived because of this effing mockingbird that I have a problem with.
Is he still bothering you?
Are you kidding me? I've thrown probably 3 tons of ice at that guy trying to get off that tree next door, and it ain't working. But I tell you, all right, back to Maria.
They were talking about the two pilots that both fell asleep while they're flying the jet.
And they had, didn't they have a picture of them or something?
Yeah.
They took a picture of them. That's scary as hell.
That's scary as hell. You know, there's a job that you'll never see a narcoleptic apply for.
Yeah, I hope so.
Hi, this is your captain. We're currently flying.
Yeah, this is your captain. We both had the same thought.
I know. The no smoking light has just gone.
Well, we're beginning our descent into Los Angeles.
Yeah, please fasten your seatbelts while we descend.
Looking out the windows.
Mommy, are we supposed to be flying upside down? Shut up. Buckle up.
Oh, man.
Captain Narcoleptic.
Now, just for those of you that don't have your Funkin' Wagnall out, I'm going to tell you
what that would be. Me.
I had to look it up. Sorry. Amoral is a lack of concern between right or wrong, and you have no conscience. In other words, you know the difference between right or wrong, but you say, F it. I don't care. This is what I'm going to do. If it kills 100 people or 1,000 people or whatever, an amoral attitude would have been Adolf Hitler, just to give you an example. Then you have immoral. Now, the immoral people, well, there's a lot of politicians we could name on this one, but I'm not. You never know who's listening. But immoral is that you know the difference between right or wrong, but you still make, you know, choices.
The wrong choice, right?
Exactly, exactly. You know, it's kind of like, hey, I know it's wrong, but I don't give an F, you know?
But I think they all deserve an ATS Mix golf clap.
Oh, I love it. And everybody in the golf course can sit there and put their balls in the ball washer.
Kiss our... Well, Dave, we don't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed doing this show with you tonight.
Oh, well, thanks, John. You know, God, that really means a lot. Can I put this under my pillow?
I don't think the Tooth Fairy will give you anything for it, but yeah, if you want to.
How about Beretta's friend, Blackie?
Yeah, fine. As long as
did you ever figure out what his name was from last show?
It was Antonio something. He played that
Antonio
guy.
Farkas. Now wasn't that Huggy Bear?
Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch. Yes,
I know. But who was the black guy on Beretta?
You still haven't figured that out. We gave you a week and you still haven't figured that out.
I know. Right. I didn't Google. Nobody YouTube'd me, so they didn't get 5,000 points from Steve-O.
Yeah. We want to remind everybody that the Skeptic Overlord, who was with us earlier in our intro, he has put up a thread in the ATS Mix area, in the information area. Is it a survey that they're doing?
Yeah, they're doing a survey. Uh-huh. And another thing that we've also created, and that's a simple way to subscribe to any of the ATS Mix group shows, the ATS Mix, the BTS Mix, or Above Politics show. Now, on every thread that is up for each of the shows, you'll have a couple of shortcuts there and be able to click and subscribe via iTunes or subscribe via the RSS feed. And we've also created the ATS Mix information area, a thread where it just has the shortcuts alone that you can subscribe. And we would really appreciate you guys subscribing.
That's it for us here at the ATS Mix. It's time to say goodnight, Gladys Jean.
Goodnight, Gladys Jean.
We'll catch you next time on the ATS Mix.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.